Praise God. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Oh, the devil would love for us to be discouraged. Oh, the devil would love for us to think it's never going to be the same. It's right. He's right. It's not going to be the same. You're darn right, devil. It's not going to be the same. But it's not going to be worse. And it's not going to be less. It's going to be greater. And it's going to be more. Because that's who we serve. The God that's more than enough. The El Shaddai. The God of Ephesians 3 and verse 20. That can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think. So those people you think it's going to be the same, no, it's not. It's not going to be worse. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be better, praise God. We're going to be more prosperous. We're going to be more healthy. We're going to be more prepared. We're going to have more faith. We're going to have more patience. And it's going to be a launching pad into all the promotion and all the increase that God has for us. So take note, devil. And all your nasty cohorts, you lose, we win. Praise God. You ought to just take some time in your home this week and just stir things up and trash talk the devil a little bit. Because he likes to talk, and I've figured out something. If he's going to talk, I'm going to talk. He's not getting the last word. I have authority over him. My kids don't get the last word. Why? I have authority over them, so they don't get the last word. I have authority over the devil. He don't get the last word. When he tells me it's never going to change, that's not the last word. The last word is it is going to change. When he tells me you'll never be healed, that's not the last word. The last word is yes, I am. I'm walking in it right now. When he tells me you're not going to make it financially and you're going to be broke and things are never going to change, that's not the last word. The last word is yes, I will, devil. I will increase, praise God. When he talks to me about my children, that's not the last word. When he talks to me about the churches, that's not the last word. I get the last word. And I put this in my mouth, and this is the authority. This trumps anything the devil can say, praise God. I just gave you a recipe for victory, praise God. So I encourage you this week in your home, stir it up, praise God. You know, your Savior didn't let the devil just say anything to him. In Luke chapter 4, when the devil was being testing Jesus, when Jesus was being tested of the devil, he didn't just sit back and let him talk. No, Jesus had authority, so Jesus got the last word. Praise God. And the devil left him. Hallelujah. So we win, we win, we win. Ha, 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 devil, we win, praise God. Glory to God, we win, praise God. Well, I'm stirred up. Hopefully you're doing a little dance in your jammies. Hopefully you actually get ready for church. That's what I'm really hoping, you take it serious. But even if you're in your jammies, bring faith with your jammies. Praise God. Don't make me show up here in my jammies. Oh, man. Oh, that'd be a sight to see. Praise God. You don't want to see that. So you don't show up in your jammies, I won't show up in my jammies. Praise God. But go with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, you're loved this morning. You are loved this morning. Praise God. You have a 5 foot five, excited, spit and vein, popping cheerleader in your corner as long as you want me there. I will come and just continue to give you faith cortisone injections to pump you up, you know. And I know that with the cortisone shots, eventually, you know, those things wear off and they don't have as much power as they used to. Maybe from the first time to the 10th one you got, they can start to wear off. It's not a long-term permanent solution, but a faith injection is. We just keep giving them to you and giving them to you and giving them to you. So just know, I got my pom-poms, praise God. I'm ready to be in your corner telling you that God's got a plan for you and the devil's going under. We're not going under. We're going over, praise God. And we're going to the other side. I don't care what it looks like or what it feels like. I got word on it. The God that never lies has given me an anchor to my soul, and he told me we're going to the other side. He told me we're going to glory, praise God. That's just what he said. Hallelujah. Some of you need a pep talk. Some of you need to have a Pastor Mike Anderson pep rally. Just give me a call. My goodness, we'll have a pep rally on the phone. You'll walk out of there. You'll try to run right through your kitchen wall. I'm telling you. We'll get you fired up. Praise God. We better get preaching here. Well, I'm stirred up. Are you stirred up? I'm built up this morning. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. We better pray. Oh, we better pray. Lord, help us. We're talking about jammies here. We need help here, Lord. Father, help us this morning. Lord, we're so grateful to be in church. Lord, thank you for all the people that have joined with us online, all the people of the two churches, Allegheny and South Dayton, all the people that are tuning in, visiting with us. We thank you for all of them, Father. We thank you that we're here, Lord, in one heart, one mind, and one accord. Father, we've shown up with hunger. We've shown up thirsting after the things of righteousness. And Lord, you said if we would do that, that you would satisfy us, that you would fill us. So Father, I thank you that you go where hunger takes you. Father, you bless where hunger allows. Father, I thank you that you bless us this morning with words from heaven. Father, utterance and boldness from heaven. Father, I thank you that you'll say things through me that will strike a chord in each and every person's heart. Father, it'll be help from heaven unto them. It'll be a divine package being delivered to them straight from the throne room, the mail room of heaven, Father. And I thank you, it'll be a blessing. It'll be answers. It'll be encouragement. It'll be help. It'll be blessing. And it'll be correction if need be. But Father, whatever we need, send it to us, Lord. Get it to us, Father. We receive what you have for us. We're hungry. We're ready. Father, we thank you that this service was already in your mind and in your plan before the foundation of the world. So I thank you what will need to be accomplished, what needs to be done, will be accomplished, and will be done in this service. Father, we will get the fullness of what you have for us this morning, and we'll give you the praise and you the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "See that you walk circumspectly." That means wisely, you know, diligently, soberly. It says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Well, that's good advice. Don't walk around or live as a fool, live as a wise man. It says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Making the most of the opportunities, because the days are evil. Well, we know the days are evil. The world is run by a nasty, evil devil, praise God. And the Bible says, in the midst of those days of evilness, where the devil is on the throne of planet Earth, where all the, you know, he's not over us, praise God, but he's over the planet Earth and over unsaved people. The Bible says, in the midst of those, we better walk wise. Yeah. Well, the reason we better walk wise is, we see this on Wednesday night, that we have an adversary. The devil, who's about going about as a roaring lion, what, stealing, killing, and destroying. He's good at it, too. He's very good at it. So the Bible says that we should walk wisely, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But this is what the Bible tells us, verse 17. "Wherefore, be not unwise." Okay, Lord, well, we don't want to be unwise. We got a good devil out there in the sense he's good at what he does. He's very skillful, so we don't want to be unwise in his arena. Don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What's that telling us? People that don't know what the will of God is are unwise. He says in verse 17, "Be not unwise," but you could say it this way, "Be wise." How? By understanding what the will of the Lord is. So the way that we're going to be unwise in walking around in a world that's run by the devil, and we know in 1 Peter 5:8 he's trying to get us. The way that we can stay blessed, the way that we can stay not as a fool, is understanding God's will. Yes, now, you know, the Bible is God's will and testament for our lives. Now, just like a natural will that somebody may draw up with a lawyer, and, you know, when they pass away, that will is read or the will is unveiled, and you know, just like in that will, there could be many different facets of that will. It's and a lot of times, it's not just one thing, not just money. There's where does the money go? Maybe it's divvied up to different people. Maybe it's to one person. Maybe it's a foundation. Maybe it's a charity. Maybe it's a college it goes to, whatever. But then there might be land. There might be possessions, jewelry, possessions, houses, vehicles, things like that, antiques, things that were special to people, and, you know, things like guns and jewelry, you know, all sorts of different things. But there's different things. But what that will does is it tells us that person's desire or that person's will for each thing. Well, the Bible's not just made up of one thing that God has a will for. God has different things concerning our children. God has different things concerning our money. God has different things concerning going to church. God has different things concerning righteousness. God has different things concerning what His will is on forgiveness, what His will is on faith, all sorts of different things. So we are going to look at a specific aspect that was put on my heart last night to look at, to help us, because we don't want to be unwise.
Yeah. That's right.
And if you don't know what the will of the Lord is, you may not walk into or take advantage or do what He says to do, and we know it's in His will. That's where the blessing is. I can't stress it enough. In God's will, in God's plan, in God's path or purpose for your life, that's where the blessings are at.
Amen. Yeah.
That's where the money's at. Yeah. That's where the favor's at. That's where the protection's at. That's where the healing's at. We see it in the Word of God. When people stayed with God's plan, when they knew what God's plan was and stuck with God's plan, my goodness, the blessings worked. Well, Psalms 91 tells us that. It says, He that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, staying within His sphere of influence, under His shadow, then it goes on to say all through those 16 verses in Psalms 91, all the blessings. But we've seen in the Word, people that step outside of the Word of God, outside of God's will, they get off into the devil's territory where he's out stealing, killing, and destroying, seeking whom he may devour. And in that realm, he's got authority. In that realm, he's got ability to hurt you. So we need to find out what the will of the Lord is on certain things so we can find out what it is, become wise, and walk that out, praise God. So what are we going to talk about this morning? Well, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. This service will be a blessing to you today. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to read down through verse 16 to 18, and we're going to see something. We're talking about being in God's will. Why? We don't want to be unwise. We get unwise into the days that are evil and start walking around outside of God's will is where we can be attacked. Outside of God's will is where the problems happen. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
In everything. In everything, no matter what you're in, in everything. That means no matter what you're in, you may be in loneliness. You may be in depression right now. You may be in sickness in your body. You may be in a financial test. You may be in a mental test or emotional test. The Bible says in everything, give thanks. Now, it didn't say give thanks for the depression, give thanks for the sickness, but in that midst of that fire, that storm, be thankful. And verse 16 said to rejoice evermore. Now, notice this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Remember, we said, don't be unwise. How are you unwise? When you don't understand what the will of the Lord is. He just told you, let me read it in the Amplified. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Ooh, I better read that again. I'm preaching to myself here this morning too, you know. Be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad-hearted continually, always. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstance may be. Be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. The will of God for you right now where you're at is to be rejoicing and to be giving thanks. Praise God. But now remember this, if that's God's will for us, and we're going to see the dangers of this today. If God's will is for us to in everything rejoice, in everything to give thanks, when we step out of those boundaries and the sound coming off of our lips and out of our mouth is not thanksgiving and rejoicing, you have now stepped outside of God's will, because the Bible says in verse 18, this is God's will. What? Rejoice evermore? And give thanks always. What's he saying? Always have an attitude of gratitude. No matter what the circumstance, always be thankful. Now people say, what's the big deal? The big deal is it's God's will. And when you don't do God's will, you step outside the boundaries. When you step outside the boundaries, you are no longer under the shadow of the Almighty. His protection, his favor, his blessing, his answers, his help only are found in his shadow, in his will, praise God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Go with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now we know around here, we talk a lot about faith, and for good reason. We know that faith is how we quench the darts of the wicked one. Faith is how, that's Ephesians 6 and verse 16. We know that faith is how we overcome, 1 John 5, 4. Faith is how we receive, in Hebrews 6 and verse 12. We know that faith is how we please God, Hebrews 11, 6. Faith is our part. There's a good reason why we talk about it so much. So it's important for us to be found in a location of faith. Why? God only flows through faith. He's not flowing through your grumbling. Yeah, come on. He's not flowing through your complaining. He's not flowing through your doubt and unbelief. That's right. The Bible says that he flows through faith. His power flows through the pipeline of faith. We know that. Well, in Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, what's in believing? In believing is in faith. When a person is truly in faith, which is where we want to be, that's where we're set up for our blessing. When a person is truly in faith, there's things that accompany that faith. What are they? Joy and peace. Joy and peace. You can't say, I'm in faith for my finances. I'm believing God for the turnaround if you're not also in joy and peace. Why? They accompany faith. Yeah. Well, I'm believing God. I'm standing firm and stout in my faith for my healing. Not if you're not enjoying peace. I'm believing for a turnaround and a change of my situation. I am in faith. Not if you're not enjoying peace, you're not. Yeah. Amen. Amen. We saw in 1 Thessalonians God's will for his people in every circumstance. What's every circumstance mean? Not just when the money's in the bank account. When you can't pay your bills. What's it mean? When you're locked at home and can't go out and do anything. Coronavirus. Quarantine life. Right? That's a circumstance. When you have symptoms in your body, that's a circumstance. He didn't say just when the healing is manifest, just when the money's present, just when everything's going good with your children, just when everything's going good in your relationship, just when your business is flourishing, just when your job's going well. He said his will in every circumstance is your attitude be one of rejoicing and giving thanks. Yes. Being thankful, glad-hearted, peace. Yes. That's what he said. That's what he said. Now, we know that the voice of faith, we always say this, that the voice of faith is praise, is rejoicing, is giving thanks. When somebody's giving thanks, when somebody's rejoicing and praising, that gives voice to their faith. We can look at that person and say, yep, they're in faith. But just like on that one hand, on the other hand, there's a voice of doubt and unbelief. Or there's a voice of doubt and unbelief. And you want to know what the voice of doubt and unbelief is? Complaining, murmuring, and grumbling. Now, I hope by the end of this message, you'll make up your mind to never complain again. To never murmur again. What's murmur just means to complain, to grumble, to gripe, to moan and groan. Ladies and gentlemen, God didn't say in everything, once in a while, go ahead and complain, it's okay. He said, rejoice evermore, and in every circumstance, just give thanks and be glad-hearted. Joy and peace. I'm hoping by the end of this message, you'll see the dangers of it. You'll see the problems with grumbling, moaning, groaning, griping, and complaining. And you'll say, I'm never going to participate in that ever again. That's a quick exit out of God's will, out of God's plan, into the devil's. Because, and I know what you're thinking, but Pastor Mike, my situation calls for complaining. No, your situation calls for in all things give thanks. Right. How can I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to let you know. Just hold your horses. I'm going to get there, praise God. I'm going to tell you and show you. This is how you're going to be set free this morning, that no matter what you're going through, whether it's on the doctor's chart, they ask you 1 to 10, that's the pain chart. If we have a 1 to 10, how bad your situation is, 10's the worst, 1's, if your situation's at a 1, if it's at a 5 or at a 10, I'm going to show you how you can be set free during this and how you can actually have an attitude of gratitude and live in joy and peace in the midst of hell on earth.
Thank you,
and I'll tell you what, it's freeing.
God.
It's freeing. I laid in my bed last night in the middle of the night just weeping and praising Him. It's freeing. I'm telling you, it's freeing. It'll set you free. That's what His Word does for us. Praise God. Well, the voice of unbelief is complaining. Go to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. Numbers 14 and verse 1. A lot of complainers in the body of Christ. A lot of gripers. A lot of moaners and groaners and complainers. It's true. It's true, and oh, that is not music to the Father's ears. Ooh, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. I'm just telling you the truth. Numbers 14, of course, to pick up the story, we know that God had led the children of Israel out of captivity, out of slavery, out of Egypt. They saw great miracles, and now God is getting ready to move them into the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey. But we remember in chapter 13, that Moses said, send spies to the land, and they sent 12 spies. And they went and looked at the land that God had promised them. They came back and reported what they had seen, and of course they said, it is a good land. It flows with milk and honey. Well, of course it's a good land. God only gives good things.
Amen.
But we saw there was opposition to them receiving it. Well, welcome to life. There's opposition to getting our healing. There's opposition to getting our finances. There's opposition for our kids walking things out, for our business, for our life, for our spiritual. Everything is going to have opposition. Why? There's a devil in the world. Let me say it again. There's a devil in the world causing messes, praise God. And so they go and they look at the land, but they find not only is it good, they find there's people already there. There's people, there's cities and villages and walls and strongholds and fortresses and armies and civilizations already there. People that looked stronger than them, bigger than them, had a better army seemingly than them. And they looked at that, right? And they said, wow, we're facing a trial. We're facing a circumstance, which remember what God said, in every circumstance, rejoice evermore and give thanks and be glad-hearted and have peace. That's what He said. That's what He wants for us. And in this circumstance, here they are coming up against a test and a trial. We hear them at the end of chapter 13 talking about how hard it is. There's people in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their sight. There's walls, there's this group of people, there's this group of people. Basically saying, it's hard, we can't have it. And now we pick it up in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1. And the congregation lifted up their voice. Now remember, what's the will of God in every circumstance? No matter what the money looks like, no matter what the body's feeling like, no matter what the kids are doing, no matter what the economy's doing, no matter what your job's doing, no matter what your business is doing, no matter what's going on in the world, in every circumstance, give thanks, rejoice evermore, and be glad-hearted and have peace. Okay, well, let's find out. And the congregation lifted up their voice and rejoiced and gave thanks to God. No. They lifted their voice and cried. And the people wept. I mean, not just little streams of tears. We're talking weeping. And verse 2 says, and all the children of Israel murmured or complained against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, why didn't God let us die in the land of Egypt? Why would he lead us in this wilderness to die? Now they're blaming God. And wherefore has the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? Remember, they saw cities and villages and armies that people with swords, and they're too big, too hard for us. To fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? They said to one another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. Basically, God, we're mad at you. How could you do this to us? This is terrible. And get rid of our leader, Moses. Kick him to the curb. That's what they're saying. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. So we see in this situation and circumstance, they lifted their voices and they expressed where their belief was. They were doubting, unbelieving, and how did it give voice to it? Complaining, murmuring, griping, moaning, groaning, whining. Yeah. Amen. If you drop down to verse 26, I want you to see something. So they get their say. Now let's take a look at what God thinks about people that run their mouth with complaining, whining, moaning, groaning, griping. Our toes getting stepped on? I hope so. I hope so. We need it. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, saying, now remember, God knew the situation. God wasn't denying that there were walls. God wasn't denying there was opposition. God wasn't denying that it was a test. God wasn't denying that they were going to have to use their faith. He wasn't denying it. But remember what the Bible said the will of God is. In every circumstance, in everything you can see, feel, and experience, your response, the will of God, is giving thanks, rejoicing evermore, being glad-hearted, and being in peace. God knew the situation. He knew it was a test. He knew there was going to be a battle. He knew walls needed to come down. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur, complain against me? I have heard. He hears it. I have heard the murmurings or the complaining of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Sure is strong. The Lord called their actions evil. You know what evil really means? Satan-like. The devil's evil. When you're called evil, you're called devil-like, Satan-like. I don't want to be associated with him ever. But guess who you partner up? Round and round and round we go. Where we stop, no one knows. Sickness and disease, poverty, sickness, depression. When you complain, you are partnering with the devil. It's evil. And I know some of you out there, you're mad at me right now, and you're saying, but you don't understand. How dare you tell me this? You do what you want. You have your attitude towards it. I'm just telling you what your father thinks of this. He thinks it's evil. It's Satan-like. It's devilish behavior. That's what he said. He was not thrilled with it, praise God. Well, the first thing I want to show you to keep you safe is the danger. The danger in complaining and grumbling and moaning and groaning. You don't have to turn there, but for time's sake, remember what Romans 14, 23 says. Whatsoever is not of faith, any action that's not faith is sin. He didn't just say, well, it just will stop you from receiving. No, it's sin. When you get into doubt and unbelief, and what's the voice of doubt and unbelief? Griping. Why? The children of Israel had a choice. Believe God or the circumstances. They believed the circumstances, so out of their mouth did not come faith. We saw what it looked like for faith to come out of the mouth. It came out of the mouth of Caleb and Joshua. They said, we can do this. We can take this land. God's given it to us. This is ours. That was the voice of faith. The voice of doubt and unbelief came out and manifested through what? Griping, moaning, groaning, whining, complaining, murmuring. And the Bible says, whatsoever, in Romans 14, 23, that is not of faith is sin. Remember it says over there in 1 John, he that is begotten of God sinneth not, and he that sinneth not, the wicked one, touches him not. That's what it says. When we sin, remember I preached that on Christmas morning. You ought to go back and listen to my Christmas service. The danger of sin. It's not so much that God's up there with his baseball bat ready to strike you down. He loves you, cares about you. He provided a way out of sin. It's called Jesus. But when you sin, you step out of his plan and into the devil's plan. And the Bible says the devil can touch you in that area. If you stay in God's will, he can't touch you. Praise God. Amen. Amen. He can put up barriers. He can put up hurdles, but we just jump right over them. Amen. We just go right through them, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Romans 14, 23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when you murmur and you complain, God called it evil. That's doubt and unbelief. What is that? They were sinning. Yeah. Sin is evil.
That's right.
When you open your mouth, oh, child of God, I know. Don't turn me off now. And go looking for some fluff preacher that's just going to tell you how to just do anything you want in life. No. When you open your mouth and you gripe and you complain and you moan and groan, you have stepped over into the area of sin. Sin is the devil's territory. It's dangerous. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Glory to God. This is why people need a pastor. Because he gets the mail that comes and delivers the mail. And sometimes you open up a package of mail, and you don't maybe necessarily like it at first. But you got to pay it. You got to do what it says in there because you want to stay blessed. You want to stay safe. You want to keep your heat on. You want to keep your house. You want to keep your vehicle. Praise God. I don't like the looks of this mail, this bill. Yeah, well, you better pay it and do what it says or you're going to lose your car or you're going to lose your house. Or you're going to get your heat shut off or get your electric shut off. So yeah, you don't like the electric bill and the heat bill, but thank God it was delivered to you so you can take care of it. You might not like this today, but thank God someone's delivering it to you so you can take care of this problem you have. It might not be fun and pretty, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of complainers, gripers, moaners, and groaners in the body of Christ, and it's not helping your life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, do all things. That's pretty much everything you do. Everything you do. Without murmurings and disputings, without complaining and disputings. Now notice this, verse 15. That you may be blameless. A complainer is not blameless. A murmurer and a griper, they're not blameless. Well, I'm not doing any, you know, I'm not watching wrong things and I'm not hurting anybody. You're not blameless. Stop trying to justify. The word is our justification. Stop trying to justify, well, I do this right, but if you're still doing this wrong, it's hurting you. The word is your litmus test. It's the line that we look at to walk, praise God. It says that you may be blameless. If you're a complainer and a murmurer, you are not blameless. You are sinful. blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. They have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain. Do all things without complaining. Why? What's the danger of you complaining? You become, you have blame on you. You get a mark against you. We would all say that disobedience to God, the Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, the willing and obedient eat the good of the land. We would all say that the people that aren't obedient don't get to eat the good of the land.
That's right.
And we see that in the Word of God. We see so many places in the Old Covenant. In Exodus, he talked about if you obey my voice, you walk into healing. If you obey this, all the Deuteronomy 28, the blessings of the law. Obey this, walk into this. What Jesus say in Matthew 7? If you do the word, you're blessed. Amen? James said, if you do the word, the parable of the sower, if you do the word, obedience. Well, when we complain, we're not doing all things without complaining. We become blameful. It's dangerous. Oh, look at this. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. I'll tell you what. This is probably just hitting us right where it's uncomfortable. You know, just getting right up under us and, oh, you know, just invading our personal space. We need this. You'll see at the end here why, but it is so backwards. So out of order and so wrong for a child of God to have anything but thanksgiving and praise come out of their mouth. It is so perverted and backwards and wrong for a child of God to ever utter a word of complaint. It's the truth. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10. Neither murmur you. What's he saying? Don't be complainers. As some of them also complained. What? We read about them. Didn't we? He's talking about the Old Testament saints, how they complained. And look what the result was. And were destroyed of the destroyer. Well, who's the destroyer? Well, John 10, verse 10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Then Jesus said, but I've come. So God and Jesus aren't the thief. The devil's the thief. The devil's the destroyer. And the Bible says that they were destroyed of the destroyer. God's not the destroyer. He came to save men's lives. How did they get destroyed? Neither complain as some of them complained. What? Their complaining, all it really was gave witness or testified, you're not in faith. You are doubting and unbelieving. And the Bible says they were destroyed. You know what complaining does? What I've been trying to tell you? It opens the door to the devil in your life. The destroyer was invited in to their lives through their complaining. Ooh. Complaining opens the door to the devil. Complaining doesn't make your situation better. Griping and just getting it off your chest and speaking your mind, speaking your peace. I just want somebody to know. I don't make your situation better. It opens the door to the enemy. And that carnal feeling you get by speaking your mind and being able to complain and being able to grow up because it feels good in your flesh, the flesh is not how God leads. The devil's the influencer of the flesh, not God. And the devil loves that it feels so good. Just like it feels so good in our flesh to hold grudges and to be bitter and to talk behind people's back. It's so fun to talk about other people in our flesh, isn't it? And the devil loves when we love our little flesh. And when you complain and grumble and moan and groan, you have walked into the devil's territory and he is just loving it, licking his chops. Amen. Well, complaining opens the door to the devil. Now go with me to Philippians 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. I know we're being helped today, man. You can't be a faith giant and be a complainer. They don't mix. Well, I'm believing God, and then 10 minutes later, you're complaining. Nah, nope, you better get that fixed. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Now, I'm not saying anything the Bible's not saying. It isn't my agenda. This isn't what I decided to deliver this morning. This is what God wants to say. This is the Apostle Paul writing. I'll remind you, he wrote this from prison. That's not a nice place. Rejoice in the Lord always. There's that word always again. Remember what he said in 1 Thessalonians? Rejoice evermore. Remember what he said in Philippians chapter 2? Do all things without complaining. In every circumstance, remember? Be glad-hearted. Rejoice evermore. Don't complain. Praise God. Rejoice in the Lord always. What's always mean? When your body's sick? When your money's gone? When coronavirus is here? When you're on lockdown?
That's good.
Well, I've heard a lot of grumbling on lockdown.
I've
heard a lot of complaining about this, the government, this, that, the other thing, money and finance. I've heard a lot of complaining. Not a complaining when people's going through financial situations and physical situations. You hear a lot of grumbling. But the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always.
Always.
And he says, just in case you didn't get it, again, I say rejoice.
Yes.
Never complain.
Good.
Complaint is the voice of the devil. Grumbling and griping is the voice of the enemy. It's evil. Remember, God told the children of Israel, that's evil.
Yeah.
Praise God. Now, Paul wrote this. And you might think, well, who gives a rip what Paul thinks? Paul's not going through what I'm going through. Well, Paul wasn't just a preacher of this word. He was a doer of this word. You know, Brother Hagin always said this. He said, the challenge for a preacher isn't to preach the word. It's to do what they preach. That's what I found is the hardest thing. It's not to preach it. It's to walk it out, praise God, to be a doer of the word. Well, thank God Paul wasn't a hypocrite. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, we can find Paul in an adverse situation, a very bad circumstance, and he's not grumbling and griping and moaning and groaning and complaining. He was a doer of Philippians 4:4. Go to Acts 16. Acts 16 and verse 25. Acts 16, 25. Now remember, Paul and Silas preaching the word, cast the devil out of a girl, ticks off some people. They beat him, strip him, throw him in prison. Paul's in prison with chains, inadequate clothing, inadequate medical care, chains, bound, behind bars. A terrible place. See, people think we're in prison right now. We're not in prison. You're not in prison. We're blessed. And Paul, in a adverse situation, circumstance, decides to be a doer of the word. And at midnight, Paul and Silas in the jail cell, beaten and bloodied, inadequate clothing, in prison for doing nothing wrong. And at midnight, Paul and Silas grumbled, griped, moaned and groaned, God, how could you? We're only in Macedonia because you told us to go there. How could you do this to us? It never works out for me. I'm so tired of this. I'm bored in this prison. What am I going to do? How am I going to make it? The money's not there. I'm always wrong. There's no, I'm not being justified right now. I'm being wronged. Blah, 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 blah. Diarrhea, throw up of the mouth. That's what complaining is. At midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God, prayed and sang praises unto God. What are they doing? Rejoicing, thanking the Lord in everything, in every circumstance, giving thanks to God. Now, here's what we see, which is so cool about this. If you notice this, the Bible says that the destroyer destroyed them because of their murmurings and their grumblings and their complaining.
Yeah.
Complaining opens the door to the devil.
Yeah.
Rejoicing and praising opens the door to God.
Yes. Amen.
When the children of Israel were in an adverse situation, they lifted their voice in complaint, in grumbling, in murmurings and moanings and whinings and groanings and complaining, and it opened the door. But the devil came through.
Yeah.
Paul and Silas, in a horrible situation, decided we better lift our voice too.
Yeah.
But something different came out.
Yes.
And something different came in.
Amen.
The door was open, but God came in.
Amen.
In that situation that you're griping about and moaning and groaning and complaining, You need help. You need a turnaround. You need answers. You're not getting closer to your answer when you yip about it. You're not inviting your help in. But when you, in the midst of that circumstance, do what Paul and Silas did. Father, I worship you. I praise you. Lord, I'm so thankful for all you've done for me. Father, you are good in the midst of my circumstance. It's always amazing to me. I chuckle inside when people will get a financial testimony. And please tell me your stuff when you get them. But when things go adversely against you, you shouldn't change your tune. People are so quick to, oh, God is so good, Pastor Mike. I got a raise. God is good. This situation turned around for me. Man, is God good. And I think to myself, God was good the whole time. God was good the whole time. God was the same when the money wasn't there. God was the same when the symptoms were there. Where was that talk when all that was going on? We're fickle, carnal beings. That's not faith. You know what faith does? Faith does what Paul and Silas did. In the midst of hell on earth, I worship you. They're not worshiping God for the beatings. They're not worshiping God that they're in jail. That wasn't God's doing. That was the devil. But they're praising God in the midst of a storm. Why? That's what faith people do.
Amen.
Now, that opened the door to God. What was the key to being able to do this? Go in Philippians 4 and verse 4, it tells us the key. Philippians 4 and verse 4. We're on the downward slope to closing now, praise God. Philippians 4 and verse 4. Look at this now. How in the world can Paul and Silas do that? He didn't say rejoice in the symptoms of your body always. The symptoms of your body are going to change. Rejoice in your bank account always, no. Rejoice in how your business is doing. Rejoice in how the economy's doing. No. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, here's what you have to understand about Paul. The key to being able to do it is Paul was Jesus focused. Well, real quick, go to Philippians chapter 3. Now, for time's sake, I want us to pick up in verse 10. Now, before verse 10, Paul's talking about all these natural things that he has reason to boast about. Talking about who he used to be as a Hebrew, who he used to be in the law, how zealous he was for the things of God. All the natural accomplishments and looking to the natural, Paul was talking about. And he says, in verse 7, those things that were gained to me. What's he saying? All those outward things are gained to me. And see, that's the problem. Everybody's looking to outward things as a measure of gain or not gain. If I got my money in my bank account, yay, I'm gaining. If I don't, poor me. If my symptoms in my body are not there, yay, I'm gaining. If they are there, poor me. Paul said all those things I could see with my natural eyes in the natural realm, he said they used to be gain to me. He says, and I told you to start in verse 10, I guess we're starting in verse 7. He says, but now I've counted those loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things. Everybody say all things. See, everything that you look at, that gauges your happiness or your sadness. What are my kids doing? If they're good, I'm happy. If they're not, I'm not. What's my money doing? My happiness joy gauge is based on my money. My happiness joy gauge is based on my business. My happiness joy gauge is based on the symptoms in my body. He says all things, that's symptoms in your body. That's health in your body. That's money in your bank account. No money in your bank account. That's your business doing good. Your business not doing good. That's an all thing. He said all things I count as a loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Wow. That I may win Christ, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What's Paul saying? And then in verse 12, he says, I chase. I press after Christ. What's Paul saying? My center of my world is not my job. The center of my world is not what my body's doing. The center of my world is not my business. The center of my world is not my bank account. The center of my world is not whether there's coronavirus, quarantine, lockdowns. No. My center of my world, everything else is nothing. The center of my world is Jesus. That's why Paul would say, rejoice in the Lord. Always. So many people are not Jesus-focused. And because you're not Jesus-focused, the symptoms in your body cause you to get out of faith and start grumbling. So many people are not Jesus-focused, that why when their bank account takes a hit or something happens with their kids or something happens to their situation and circumstance, it goes the wrong way. Because you're not Jesus-focused, you grumble and you moan and groan and you step over into the enemy's territory. And your faith goes out the window. You know what was interesting? Is we saw that God was not happy with the children of Israel when they were complaining. He said they're evil. Now, I want to tell you where they were when they were complaining. They had just seen, I mean, they saw a miracle of miracles. They're being pursued by the Egyptian army. Moses, their leader, slaps his stick on the water. The water parts, comes up like a wall on each side. The ground turns completely hard and solid. 2 million people, children, women, husbands, all their stuff, their animals, go across this water being pursued by the Egyptians. And the water standing up on each side. That's something I've never seen before. And they saw that miracle. And now they're in a place where they come up against a test of trial, and God's ticked. How in the world can you act like this when you've already seen what I've given you? My kids know if they want to get on Dad's bad side real quick, just grumble. Moan and groan and complain. Now, there's a couple reasons why it really fires me up when my kids complain. There's no room for complaining in my house. My kids know it. My kids, they know, do not complain. The reason is, number one, I know truly how blessed my children are. Regardless of what they think the situation is, I know my kids are so blessed. Yeah. And also, the reason it ticks me off is I know what I've personally done for them to make them that blessed. You know why it fires the father up? Because he looks at you and says, they don't know how blessed they are. The children of Israel on the other side, the water parted, they're out of the Egyptians. God's getting ready to move into the promised land. That's the reality. And God says, they're complaining. And then God's like, did they not know I'm the one that parted that sea? And God in heaven looks down at us. How can complaining come out of their mouth? They don't know how blessed they are and what I've done to put them there. Same reason I get ticked off at my kids when they complain. You don't know how blessed you are. And I make sure to let them know. And I know that I did things and sacrificed things to put you there. And God is saying to us, now remember, they received a great miracle. And God's saying, do you know how blessed you are? Do you know that I did that for you? Let me tell you something. No matter where you are this morning, whether you're in health, whether your body's in sickness, whether you're in prosperity or your natural circumstances are lack, whether things are going perfect for you in your life or things are a little out of order and there's tests and trials, whether your business is doing great, your business isn't doing great, your job's great, your job's not, whatever it is, you where you are, where you're sitting right now, I don't care what the natural circumstances say. Yeah. Because my kids will bring up natural science. I don't care. You don't know how blessed you are.
Yeah, right.
You have a wrong thinking, son.
Yeah. Right.
Wrong thinking, daughter.
Yeah.
Where you sit right now, at what time? 11:26 a.m. on April 19th. I think that's the date.
Yeah.
2020. You are so stinking blessed. Disregard all the natural things while I could sit here until tonight and tell you how blessed you are, just so you know. Millions of people around the world would change places with you right now and not even know your circumstance. Just know that you're an American. They'd say, sign me up. Nobody I'm preaching to right now is living on the streets. Nobody I'm preaching to right now is not going to get a meal today. And if you are in that position, you get a hold of me, we'll feed you.
Yeah.
I mean that. Praise God, we'll feed you.
Yeah.
And make it so you don't have to be there. But, amen.
Amen.
But take away all the natural things, because who gives a rip?
Yeah.
You have Jesus.
Amen.
You have Jesus.
Amen.
And God is hearing complaining coming out of your mouth and saying, don't they know what I already gave them and what I did to give it to them? How can they complain? It is so perverted and backwards and out of order for a child of God to open their mouth and have one sound, one syllable, one sentence of complaint come out of their mouth. Praise God. We have Jesus. And Jesus is enough. Jesus delivered us. Even if we never got another good thing in the natural, which God promises, even if He delivered us from hell, we have eternity of prosperity, eternity of health, eternity of joy and victory. We have the one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm the greater one, praise God. And God says, how could they complain?
Yeah.
Jesus is enough.
Amen.
Now, I want this is all to help you in ending this. Going forward, because it's no fun to be in a place of complaint. It doesn't do anything good for you. We saw that.
Right.
It opens the door to things you don't want.
Yeah.
I want to help you with something going forward that will set you free.
Amen.
Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, let me turn there. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. The Bible says, look at Jesus. One translation says, to fix your gaze upon Him. Where does it tell you to look? Jesus. Remember when Peter was on the water in Matthew chapter 14, over there around verse 22? Peter was on the water and there were adverse natural circumstances. But when Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, what did he do? He walked on top of those circumstances. When Peter took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the wind and the waves and the water, he sank. When you, in your situation, just keep looking at your body and the symptoms in your body, you're going to sink. Grumbling and griping is going to come out and invite the wrong thing in. When you keep just looking at the finances and looking at the news and looking at the doom and gloom and looking at all the negative things, you're disobeying God. He didn't tell you to look at those things. He said, fix your gaze on Jesus. Why? He's the answer to every situation you can go through. Now, let's close with this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. I love Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. How can I rejoice in my sickness? You're not rejoicing in your sickness. You're rejoicing in the Lord.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. Remember what Isaiah 26:3 says? You need to write that down. Isaiah 26:3. I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind, your thoughts on me, he said. Jesus. Yeah. There's symptoms in my body, yeah, situations in my body, but I have Jesus.
Amen.
And not only does that mean eternity, but Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is my answer.
Yes.
We have nothing to complain about.
That's right.
In everything give thanks. Rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Praise God. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with Jesus. Oh, praise God. Why am I telling you this? That thing that's tripping you up, that job thing, that physical thing, that business thing, that circumstance thing, when Jesus comes back, which He's going to, which it could be in any minute, we don't know. The Bible says we don't know when it is. We know we're closer, though.
Amen.
We know we're closer. Peter called the last days in Acts chapter 2, 2,000 some years ago. We're 2,000 years advanced. We're in the last of the last days. We are. Amen. We don't know if we'll see it in our lifetime. I believe we will, but if we don't, go to be with Him anyways through a natural death. But my point is, we're going to be with Him forever. Yeah. That thing you're stressing over, when you're zinging through the air to meet Him, is staying right down here. All those cares, all those concerns, all those worries. When you get Jesus focused and put your mind on Jesus, it makes everything else seem so small and insignificant. Everything that trips us up, everything that causes problems, all the people that are against us, when we're zinging through the air to be with Jesus forever, none of it will mean anything. If you would live with that Jesus eternal mindset, it would set you free. It would put a voice of praise and a shout of praise in your mouth and an attitude of gratitude, which not only will be a blessing, it will get you into faith and will fix those situations here on the earth. The Bible never said focus on your stuff for them to be fixed. The Bible says be faithful to Him, put your eyes on Him, and He'll take care of the stuff. You're out of order, and it's causing you to grumble and to gripe and to moan and to groan. Jesus is enough.
Amen.
For everything. When you complain, it's like my kids, when they complain, are you telling me that I didn't do enough for you? Do you need me, son and daughter, to remind you of the lengths that I've gone to for you? Complaining is a slap in the face to the Father saying, you haven't done enough. You left me here inadequately. You are a deadbeat father. Ouch! I dare say we're going to have some repenting when this service is over. I already got my repenting out of the way last night in bed. I came in clean as a whistle today, praise God. I never missed it yet, praise God. You know the Bible says when you ask for forgiveness, He forgives as far as the east is from the west. As if you never did. He said, I won't remember it. So I've never complained before. I don't know what's wrong with all you complainers. I've never done it before. I've been pardoned. As of last night in my bed, I am free, praise God. But I am endeavoring from this point forward of my life. I don't care what's going on in my body. I don't care what's going on in the world. I don't care what's going on in my finances, what's going on in my family.
Amen.
Never complain.
Amen.
Jesus is enough. Praise God. Let's pray. I trust you were blessed this morning. Praise God. Father, we bless you today. We worship you this morning. Lord, forgive us. Come on right now. Let's repent. Lord, forgive us. Actually, I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance right now. For those of you that are His children, if you're not His children, you're not a Christian, we'll get you a chance to be a Christian, but you ought to complain when you're not a Christian. You're a child of the devil. There's a lot to complain about. But if you're a Christian, those of you that you need to repent right now, just close your eyes and repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father,
you
said in your word,
if I ask you to forgive me,
of my sins, you said that you are faithful and just to forgive me. Father, you have shown me today that complaining, grumbling, griping, moaning, groaning, whining, and complaining is a sin. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you that I'm as white as snow. And I endeavor, Father, from this place to never let a word of complaint, of murmuring, of grumbling, of griping, of moaning, of groaning, of whining to ever come out of my mouth ever again in Jesus' name. Well, now if you prayed that, you're as free as I am. Hallelujah. Let's go forward better, praise God. How are you going to do it? You're going to put your eyes on Jesus. When you put your eyes on Him, man, there really ain't nothing to complain about. If I never got another penny the rest of my life, man, I've inherited prosperity through Jesus. I got an inheritance waiting for me. The symptoms in my body never changed, which we know they can. I got a lifestyle of healing waiting for me through Jesus. But Jesus' help isn't for just up there. It's for down here. But it comes through faith. Now we're going to go ahead. I want to just address people right now. If you're listening, you're watching right now, and you say, I don't know about this heaven stuff. This Jesus stuff is foreign to me. Well, God gave His only Son, the Bible says in John 3:16, that if we would believe in Him, we'd perish not. When Jesus went to the cross and died for us, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says that Jesus became sin for us. All of our sin was placed on Him. Why? So we could have fellowship with God. So we could stand in the presence of God as righteous, with no condemnation, no shame, and no guilt, to be free. It's only available through Jesus. He paid the price. The Bible says that out of Jesus' mouth, He said, I'm the way to heaven. I'm the truth. I'm the life. To get to the Father, you must come through me. If you're watching right now and you don't know what this is all about, say, I want to be God's child. You know, everybody, a lot of people think that everybody in the world is God's child. Not everybody in the world is God's child. John chapter 1 says that to them that receive Jesus, those He gave the right to be called children of God. Those that have not received Jesus, the Bible tells us, your daddy's the devil. You're a child of Satan. That's just the truth. We're not coming against you or making funny or belittling you. It's just the Bible. But if you want to get out of that kingdom and into a kingdom where God gives you eternity, gives you a blessing of eternal peace and joy and prosperity and victory in heaven, where He said, I'll be a father to you here on the earth, and I'll bless you. I'll give you a pastor to teach you my ways. I'll give you the Word of God to show you what I want for you. If you say, I want that, I want a new life, I want change, it's available to you. You can't get it through church attendance. You can't get it through being a good person. You can't get it through being generous. Just like it can't be kept from you if you have bad church attendance. It can't be kept from you if you've been a bad person. And it can't be kept from you if you've been cheapskate and not been very charitable. It all comes down to Jesus. He said, if you'll believe in Jesus, didn't say church attendance, didn't say morality, just believe. There's two things one must do to receive Jesus. Believe and receive. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. So right now I ask everybody that's watching to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And for those people you say, I've never formally asked Jesus into my heart. I thought church attendance was how I got to heaven, but that's not what the Bible says. I thought because I was moral I'd get to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. And for those of you that think, I didn't think I was qualified. I didn't go to enough church. I wasn't good enough. That don't matter either. If in your heart of hearts you believe in Jesus, you are qualified. And for those of you that want to receive Him for the first time, don't let this moment pass you by. You're not joining this church. You're not becoming a member of something. You're just entering into the family of God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody that's watching this that needs to pray this prayer, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to receive Jesus in our heart. Everybody that's watching, join in me with your faith and say this. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus. I believe that same Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that same Jesus rose from the dead. And I ask that same Jesus to come into my heart and save me. And Father, you said in your word, if I would call on the name of the Lord, I'd be saved. Doesn't matter how much church I've gone to, how little church I've gone to, how good of a person I've been, or how bad of a person I've been. I thank you that as I receive Jesus, I am now saved. I am now your child. And I thank you that heaven and all the blessings in the Bible belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, first of all, congratulations. We are excited for you. Man, I'll tell you, my life changed when I gave my heart to Jesus, and I'm so thrilled for you. I sure would like to know about it if you'd send me an email or give me a phone call. There's some things now going forward that I want to help you with. You know, one of the blessings of receiving Jesus is heaven. But if you know you're not in heaven yet, there's still a life that needs to be navigated, a life that needs to be lived. And thankfully, God has given us the resources to live victoriously, to live blessed, and I'd love to help you with that. So please give me a phone call, shoot me an email. I'd love to talk to you and get you started in your new life with God. My goodness, you don't even know how good it's going to be for you. Well, everybody, let's stand up today together by faith, and let's worship Jesus this morning. Father, we love you. Come on and put your eyes on Jesus. Oh, there's nothing more you need to do, Father. You already gave us Jesus. We magnify you. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, God's going to have some mail for you. Show up hungry. Show up ready. Worship with us. Pray with us and be engaged in the Word with us. Love you. Appreciate you. We're believing for you. This season will pass. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Great things are ahead. I love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. You are dismissed.